I have come, being a parent, to think that and to believe that God gives us children so that we can have a better appreciation for the Old Testament. We are, in our household, and I'm sure this is a big surprise to all of you, constantly saying, "Are you listening? Did you hear me? What did I just say? Did you not just," and this is Cindy's fame, "did you not just hear me say, and now you are, why are you doing that? Didn't I tell you? Why are you not, does this sound familiar?" I'm sure none of you heard that from your parents. At all. No, and maybe I'm the only one. But it gives me a better appreciation for the Old Testament. Because as I read through the Old Testament, I am constantly reading, "Listen, listen, 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 will you listen to me? Listen, come here, will you listen, listen, listen?" God constantly listening to, or asking the Israelites to listen to him. And the Israelites constantly doing this. Oh yeah, yeah. I used to be, when I was a kid, very good at not paying any attention to what was being said to me and repeating it back word for word. I don't remember any of that, but that's what I'm told. Cody is not so good at that. If you try to talk to him, it's like this. And he's looking off over here and his eyes every so and off and go. It is the hardest thing. And Evelyn smiles at you. She goes, and someday I'm going to learn what she's thinking as she's looking directly at me, smiling, but clearly not listening. Do you get that sense sometimes that maybe God gives us children so we can better understand what he has gone through in the Old Testament? The Israelites, of course, were great at saying, "Oh yes, Lord, we hear you and we will obey," and doing something completely different. Well, our favorite passage this morning is found in Isaiah, and it's specifically looking at verses 17 and 18 in chapter 48, which I just read, and I'll read it for you again. "This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea." And Donna sent me an email saying, "This is my favorite passage, I appreciate this passage. It's a wonderful passage to remind me that we need to be listening to what God has to say." But as we have done with all of these passages, there's a larger context with which we need to place these verses so we get an understanding of what's going on. Now, I'm not going to talk about the entirety of Isaiah. That's a lot of chapters and a lot of stuff to go through in one section. But if you're to do a bit of a read, real briefly, the first 39 chapters of Isaiah really are kind of the present conversation that Isaiah is having. It's during the time of his actual ministry when he's talking to the kings, and he begins his time when King Uzziah was king, and his heyday was during Hezekiah, and he's constantly saying, "Hezekiah, if you do this, things are going to go badly for you." And Hezekiah's going, "So if I do this, then my descendants are, you know, hooped, but there's going to be peace in my time. I'm okay with that." So the first 39 chapters are kind of all in that space of what is happening now in Isaiah's ministry. Chapter 40 to 66 then kind of skips ahead and is prophetically looking forward. Isaiah is still talking, but he's talking about events that happen after his death. He's talking about the time when Jerusalem will be overthrown and the Babylonians come to power and rise. And even during King Hezekiah's time, the Babylonians are starting to gain some ground a little bit here. And Isaiah is saying, "Look, Israel, you foolish, foolish people, you need to listen, because if you don't, bad things are going to happen. And the longer you don't listen, the firmer God's hand is going to have to be. And there will come a time when Jerusalem will be no more, and your sons and your daughters and your great sons and all this sort of things will be carried off into exile into the hands of the Babylonians. And so Isaiah is talking about in chapters 40 onwards, this time to come, which happens after Isaiah is dead. And so in the middle of that, or not quite in the middle, but into that comes chapter 48. And up to this point, he has been talking about the what the exile is going to look like, what that, what's going to happen to them. But 48 hits into the space and says, but there's hope out of that. There's going to be a release from exile. You will return out of that. So it's really a hopeful passage. It's a hopeful section. But there's some really important things out of it that we can learn as we look at it within the context of why is Isaiah even talking about fleeing from Babylon when he's writing this. The Israelites are still happily ensconced in Jerusalem. Well, there's three different points that I want to draw out this morning within this, and the first one is simply that listening is key. Listening is the key to what's going on, and not just listening, but listening and doing. Now, three times in between verses 12 and 22, the command "listen" is said. Verse 12: "Listen to me, O Jacob." Verse 14, "Come together, all of you, and listen." Verse 16, "Come near and listen to this." Now, the Hebrew word, this is really kind of fun stuff, which I can't pronounce at all, but the Hebrew word for listen in here is a word that does not allow any room. Again, I can't pronounce it. It starts with an S, and then there's some weird lines, and I don't get it. But the meaning of it, the word does not allow any room for there to be a difference or a distance of space between the perception of the word and the action behind it. So the idea and the context here that we're looking at, that we need to pull away this first one here, is if you are actually listening, then you will actually be doing. And if you are not actually doing, then the question that this word brings out, and really that Isaiah and that God brings through all of the Old Testament, is, did you actually hear what I said? Are we catching that? It's an important point. And it's all through Scripture. God is constantly saying, listen to what I'm saying. James talks about faith and deeds and actions going hand in hand together. And constantly we're saying, listen to what God is saying and do what it says. Do what God is saying constantly. But we are really good at listening, but we are not really good at doing what we have just listened to do. When Jesus tells us to go out and preach the good news, to share the gospel, to tell people about him, we hear that, oh yes, very good, yes, yes. But how many of us in our Judeas, Jerusalems, and out to the end of the world, and let's geographically make this really small. I got neighbors on either side of me, and then there's a couple of blocks, and there's maybe the community association that I'm a part of. How many of us are going out there and saying, forget about, I go to, you need to know who Jesus is. How many of your neighbors know that you actually go to church? How many of your coworkers know that you come to church? How many, we hear these words and we say, these are good things. Yes, absolutely. But our action to that isn't so good. And Isaiah, in using this word of listen, says that you cannot listen and not act. And if you are not acting, then you have not really listened. You have not really heard. And the big picture result out of all of that we see is Isaiah through the, in amongst all of this saying, the result of not listening, Israel, is exile in Babylon. And it's not fun. It's not pretty. You're not going to enjoy it. You're going to be homesick for a really, really long time. Some of you will go into exile and you will die there. You will never see your home again because you did not listen. Now, you did not hear You did not listen. And so the first thing that we need to pull out of that is that we listen to what's going on. And verse 18 rounds this out. Right? Here's the consequences. If you only had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. There's promise in it. If only you had listened, then these things would have happened. They were promised to you. But that's not what you have gotten. Because we have maybe heard the words, nodded our head sagely, that sounds very nice, and then gone off to do something else completely. And we have similar stories. I see in my kids the consequences of their not listening. And that's easy to see it in their lives. You know, they didn't listen, and so they got timeouts, and they got this, or whatever happens. But it's so much harder to see it or to acknowledge it in my own life. Especially because I am really good at, and I'm speaking for me, because I don't want to speak for you on this, but I am risking the assumption that many of you are in the same boat as me. I'm really good at justifying and explaining away the things that happen rather than owning up to my own selfishness and not wanting to listen to what God is telling me and thinking that I know better than He does. Right? Well, this didn't work out so well for me. Well, you know, it was this happened, these circumstances and these things all went. But really what it was, I wasn't being actively obedient as I should have been. And often, in Christian circles, we get this idea that once we've been forgiven of sin, God forgets about it. And I'm going to challenge that this morning a little bit, just in this brief thought. As we need to be reminded that we need to listen to God, we also need to be reminded that God does not forget about our sins. And now some of you might be thinking, hang on a second, Ryan, there may be some heresies here, and I've got a match, and we're going. If we believe that God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and all present, Almighty God, then He cannot forget. If we believe that God can absolutely 100% forget something, then He is not all knowing. Now, Scripture does tell us that when we confess our sin, we bring that before Him, Scripture tells us that He puts that as far away from us as the east is from the west. That's forgiveness. And He removes that, He throws that out into the farthest depths of the ocean. That's forgiveness. But on the book, it is written down and recorded, and when we come and stand before the judgment throne at the end and sit there, God's going to bring that out and say, Ryan, look at all of this. Look at all of these things. And I'm going to say, I got no answer. I had an answer, but I've got no answer. And He's going to say, what do we do with this? And that's the beauty of grace and forgiveness, is God saying, I did not forget about this. And Jesus is going to step in and says, yes, but I covered it all up. All these words are now covered in my blood, no longer to be read, because Ryan has been forgiven. And God says, yes. What a great thing. But sometimes, we need to be reminded the consequences from not listening. Not because God wants to punish us so that we relive painful moments in our lives, but to remind us that we need to redirect our focus back onto God. Because God has great things for us and great promises. Peace, like a river, promises for us, for those who listen, and for those who act upon what they have heard. Which brings me to our second point. My second point that comes soon is answering the question, well, who do we listen to? Right? It should seem obvious, but yet there are so many books, and I've said this before, so many books and so many videos and movies and blogs and magazines and TV spots and so on and so forth out there written by or presented by people who are claiming to have all the answers to life and what you should do with yours or how you should live it. If only you read my book and buy it now for the low, low price of $25.99. Right? We picked up, oh, all the answers. Parenting made simple. Just read this one book. Fantastic. It's going to fix my children. If I read this one book, you know, work, succeed at work. If I just, you know, listen to this one podcast, it's going to change everything about me and my workplace, and it's going to magically cure all my things. And so we bounce from who we listen to these experts, and we bounce, and we go, and we go, and we go, and we say, if I listen to this right person, I will get all the answers. But that person isn't God. And we need to be reminded, and Isaiah does that in this passage, reminds of just who we should be listening to. Isaiah starts in verse 12, says, listen to me, O Jacob. And then, you know, I am he. And then jump down to verse 17 and say, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you, who directs you. I am the author. I am the orchestrator. I am the one who knows best. Listen to me. And we get distracted by listening to so many other people. We get distracted listening to me. I should not be the last word on anything, even though I get a mic and stand up here once a week on Sunday mornings. This, God's word, is the last word. And that we should be listening to. And Isaiah is pointing out that he is not like the other idols, who we think tell us the things. And in this case, he's talking about the actual idols of Baal and all those sorts of things that the Israelites look towards for answers. But we look towards idols so many other ways for the answers to life. And God calls him on and says, which of those idols has foretold these things that's going to happen? Which of these idols has spoken and then it has come true? 100% of the time? None of them. For there is only one God. And we need to be reminded and remember that it is God who we need to listen to and who we look to for our guidance. Now some of us might be thinking, man, this is a lot to handle. On a Sunday morning, it's a lot to go on. Some good reminders, but man, I'm feeling. Where's the hope out of all of this? Is it too late for me? Well, it is never too late to change. That's my final point. It is never too late to change. And even though God will allow us to reap the rewards of our not listening, He will provide for a way out. And an opportunity for us to change our listening habits and focus on what He is doing in our lives. The exiled Israelites are told, Isaiah says, you're going to go into exile. But there is a return at the end of it. There is a restoration. There is a redemption. The exiled Israelites are told, verse 20, leave Babylon, flee from the Babylonians, announce this with shouts of joy and proclaim it. Send it out to the ends of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed His servant Jacob. God will redeem His people and restore them to their own country. In spite of what they may think about God while in exile, He is still looking out for them, just as He did during the Exodus. Providing for them in miraculous ways. Showing them a way. And it's not too late for us to begin a new process of listening. It is not too late for us to begin acting on what we have heard. God is not defeated by our sin. Don't always say that again. God is not defeated by our sin. He has defeated sin. He is not defeated by it. We can never run so far away from God that He is incapable of becoming present in our lives again. God allows for hardship. He allows for difficulty. That's a hard thing to say. It's a hard thing to accept. But sometimes that is a way of getting our attention and reminding us that we still do need him. And when we turn back to him, we discover that he has been looking out for us all along, and that there can be freedom from the exile of our own selfish lives. Now, there is a warning. And in this happy passage that Isaiah kind of brings out, there's a warning at the end of it in verse 22. It says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." God does not force us to be obedient to him. He does not force us to love him. He does not force his will upon us. He offers it there. He waits for us. He gives us all the opportunity for us to choose him. He does not force there. However, we do need to be aware that continuing to live in defiance of him, then by continuing to live in defiance of him, peace will escape us. And that's on us, not on him. And perhaps life in this world will look just fine for us. But this life is not eternity. And eternity is a whole different story. And God wants us to have peace in that. So I ask you this morning, where will your listening ears be? Who are you tuning into today? God is calling us to listen to him and then to redirect our lives and our actions to reflect what we have heard. God desires to see his people move out from under exile and return back to him. And he has provided that way through Jesus Christ and has reached out to us with that. And it is our job. It is up to us then to respond. And there will be peace and righteousness, a redemption, a restoration, a returning to God, and joy, and new life and new hope. Where will you listen this morning? Let's pray together.